Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
If you're managing Facebook ads for other people, or maybe you're looking to start a Facebook ads business, you're going to love today's episode. Today, I'm joined by my friend and student, Monica Louie, and she runs a thriving Facebook ads management business. And we're going to go behind the scenes of all aspects of her business on today's episode. We're going to talk about how she gets started. We're going to talk about the challenges that she faced in getting past her lack of experience when she first got going. We're going to talk about how she overcame the who am I to be running Facebook ads for other people mindset that she had. We're going to break down her client onboarding process, her secret to working with clients long term. And also, we're going to get into what her team looks like today and the evolution of how that team has grown over the past couple of years. We're also going to get into strategies for lowering the cost per click for your ads, something that she does a very good job of for her clients. This is the most wide-ranging discussion on creating and growing a Facebook ads management business that lights you up and energizes you here in the podcast. I finished up this interview with Monica 2 weeks ago before this came out here, and I immediately finished up. I was like, I cannot wait to share this with you here on the podcast. Monica is awesome, and I'm really pumped to bring her here to you today. All right, let's jump into it.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Mole ready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of pay traffic. Here's Rick.
What is up, my friend? Welcome back to the Art of Pay Traffic podcast. This is episode number 198, only two away from that big 200. I got a special one planned for you. I'm actually, at the time I'm recording this, I'm not quite sure which direction I'm going to go for episode number 200, but either way, it's going to be a lot of fun and going to be a little bit, a little different, a little special one here for you coming up on episode number 200. But in the meantime, I'm Rick Mulready. And if you're new here, welcome. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. I really appreciate it. I'm here to simplify online marketing for you so that you can scale and create consistent income and freedom in your business, because that's what it's all about, right? If you're still listening at this point, that likely means you're managing Facebook ads for other people, or maybe you're looking to start a Facebook ads business. And if that's you, I've got a really important question for you. Are you ready to stop selling while confidently growing your Facebook ads business? I know that sounds weird, maybe kind of an oxymoron, but it is all about that. It's all about stopping selling while also confidently growing your Facebook ads business. Because if you are selling to grow your business, if you're trying to sell clients, you're doing it wrong. And I'm really excited about a brand new training I've got coming up for you, where I'm going to be teaching you all about how to effortlessly attract high quality clients while not having to sell. And this training kicks off on July 24th in just a few weeks. So in the meantime, if you are managing Facebook ads for other people, or you're looking to start a Facebook ads business, then I want to invite you to join the free FB Ad Manager pop-up Facebook group that I've created, where I'm going to be sharing strategies and content over the next several weeks leading up to July 24th. And you're also going to be in first in line for this free business transforming training that starts on July 24th. So if you'd like to join that free Facebook group, just go to rickmulready.com/FB group. Again, it's rickmulready.com/FB group. Look forward to seeing you inside the Facebook group there. All right, my friend, without further ado, let's go hang out with Monica Louie.
Monica, how's it going? Welcome to the podcast.
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. This is an honor.
Absolutely. So we're on camera. We're on video this morning. I don't normally do the interviews. We just normally just do audio, but like, I was like, hey, let's jump on camera here. And just like we're sitting down for coffee, like I mentioned to you. So I'm really glad to have you on here. Tell us about your business. So before we, because I have a lot of things I want to dive into here today with you. And you've been managing Facebook ads for other people for a while now. We first met, February. I think it was February, right? Earlier this year, 2018, at one of the events for Social Media Marketing World here in, here in San Diego. That was awesome to meet you in person and got to learn a little bit more about what you're up to in your business and so forth. So before we get, you know, more into sort of the direction where we're going to go with this, let's share with AOPT Nation here a little bit about you and about the business that you run.
Sure. So I am a married mother of two. I've got two wonderful kids, Jaden, who's almost seven, and Madeline, who's 4.5. So I work from home in my basement running Facebook ads. And so we've got different areas of the business, though. I started off in the Facebook ads world as a Facebook ads coach, just working closely with clients to help teach them and create campaigns together. And then that grew very quickly. So then I added an online course to the mix of things so I could help people in a broader way. And then I had the opportunity at the, fall of 2017, some people reached out that I wanted to work with, who wanted to work with me, but they weren't necessarily looking for coaching or for a course. They really just wanted me to, you know, take on their ads for them, to outsource their ads. And looking at the level of where their businesses were, you know, that completely made sense. And so I decided to take that on in just a small scale. But then since then, we've really got our processes in place. And now we've been growing and heavily focused on growing the ads agency side of the business this year.
Gotcha. What got you into Facebook ads in the first place? You said you started off as a Facebook ads coach. What was sort of the, you know, the journey into that?
Yeah. So back in January of 2015, I started my first blog, and that was a personal finance blog about my family's journey out of debt and just sharing our story and helping others to, you know, get on a budget and live more intentionally with their money. And so with that, I kind of dove into the online world and started learning all I could about online marketing and fell in love, really. I found myself just devouring business books and business podcasts. And so through that experience, I ended up learning Facebook ads from Amy Porterfield. I went through her B-School bonus program back in 2015. And one of her bonuses was a Facebook ads workshop. So that was my first taste of Facebook ads. So I applied that to my business then to promote my debt freedom workshop, to, you know, promote my webinar, find people on Facebook, because I had a very small audience at that time who were, you know, also wanting to get out of debt and be more intentional with their money. And it worked really well. So my first campaign averaged $1.26 per webinar registration. And then I took my learnings from that experience and applied it again a couple months later and was able to get the cost down to overall the average cost for the campaign down to $1.01 per webinar registration.
What year was this?
This was, so my first campaign was in the fall of 2015, and then the second one was January 2016. So it was a couple years ago now.
Even still, very impressive for a webinar registration.
Yeah, I was really excited because I, you know, we were getting out of debt and I didn't have a lot of money to invest in that, but I had a small audience. And I knew that if I wanted to reach more people, you know, the smartest way, quickest way was to invest a little bit in Facebook ads. So it worked really well. And so as I was also joining the online personal finance community, people started hearing that I had gotten great results for myself with Facebook ads and started to ask for my help with their own Facebook ads. And so through 2016, I kind of helped a little bit here and there with some projects. And then by the end of 2016, I started just people in that community started getting more excited about Facebook ads, hearing other people that they knew, you know, having success with Facebook ads. And so then I started to become the go-to person in that community to help with Facebook ads. And once I started working with a couple of clients and we started getting great results with them and, you know, with different offers and things. Then I realized that there was something to it, that it was, you know, working out really well, that I was able to not only get great results for myself, but also to help other people get great results. And I just realized that I was having a lot of fun in the process. So I ended up selling the blog and transitioning to become full-time Facebook ads coach at the end of 2016.
I love that story. And I want to unpack it a little bit because there's a couple of different things there that a lot of people have hiccups with, challenges with when they're looking to start their ads business. And number one, it's like, I want to dive into how you started charging, you know, for your first clients there and sort of how that's evolved now. But you said something really important there. You said, you know, look, you were in the personal finance, you had your own blog there. So you joined communities online. Were those communities mm-hmm. were they Facebook groups or were they other forums or what?
Yeah. So the main community is the FinCon community. So yeah. FinCon is a conference that has grown really, I mean, it's a lot bigger now than it was, but I attended for the first time in 2016 and I had learned about the conference before and kind of followed and wanted to go. But the first time I attended was 2016. So then I joined the Facebook group, which is really active and engaged, always a lot of people in there helping, you know, asking great questions and then helping each other. And so my name just started to come up whenever somebody would ask a question around Facebook ads.
And you weren't in there selling yourself. You weren't in there being like, hey, I have a course, or hey, I can coach you or run your ads. You were just in there adding value. Am I right?
Yes, actually, I was very shy and I still feel like I'm pretty shy in that group. But I was very shy that I would just, you know, maybe comment to help, you know, answer a question, but I wouldn't really post at all. And I still don't post a lot, but I just felt like I was very shy that I should be a little bit more vocal in that group because that was the community that I was really excited about, you mm-hmm. know, being a part of. But I was just really shy. And so once I started, you know, working with a couple of people in that group, then, you know, the message got out, I guess the word got out that I was a person who could help.
And you enjoyed, I mean, this was your community, right? This was your background. This is the type of niche that you wanted, that you were in, that you enjoyed it. You wanted to be in it. You were adding value there. And so this is one of those things where, you know, people don't want to make the effort to put themselves out there. And like you just explained, Monica, like you weren't in there selling yourself. You were just in there adding value. Like you're answering questions. If a Facebook ads question came up, you were there to answer it. And pretty soon word got out that you were the go-to person. And it's like, hey, Monica, can I work with you on running, you know, such and such campaign for me? And it sounds like you did that a couple of times. And then it sort of started to snowball from there. And I've seen this happen time and time and time again. Like this is how people go from 0 to 60 very quickly, you know, in their ads management business. And then from there, they can often start to filter out like, all right, you know what? I liked this. I didn't like this, and really start to put together their ideal Facebook ads business, if you will. As you started to do that, as you started to get those first couple of clients, were there any kind of mindset issues there where like, ooh, who am I to be managing this person's Facebook ads? Because that comes up a lot. And I hear that a lot from my students.
For sure. So because, you know, I just had that experience with myself, with my own offer, you know, knowing my audience and who I was trying to reach, I didn't really know if what I did, you know, it worked and, you know, worked well a couple of times, but I didn't know if I would be able to apply that to somebody else and their audience. And so with, you know, I was very open with my, you know, I'm very open about my experience, but especially those first few clients, I was very open about my, what I felt was a lack of experience, but that I knew, you know, I told them about my results that I had and, you know, then I was, you know, willing to, you know, coach them and help them with this. But basically, you know, I didn't want to try and pretend to be somebody that I wasn't at that point, you know, and so. But then once, you know, I worked with this person and we tried this kind of campaign. Well, so we started with a conversion campaign to grow their email list. And we did several actually and had extremely, I mean, just amazing costs. We were growing their email list at like 30 cents, 35 cents per email subscriber. It was pretty incredible. And I knew that those were incredible numbers. And then I started working with another client who actually you had on your podcast last summer, Deacon Hayes.
Yep.
We started working together in December of 2016, just driving traffic to his blog. to his monetized blog posts. And we were able to get the cost per click super low, down to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cents back then. And still even just, 3 to 7 cents is usually where we kind of hover. So once I realized that I was working, on with Facebook ads in different angles and different audiences and getting, great results, that I kind of needed to just step into it at that point. And I realized, I knew that I wanted a shift in my business and I wanted to work with other entrepreneurs, but I didn't know exactly what that was going to look like. I knew I needed to niche down and, specialize into something. And then when I kept getting these great results with Facebook ads and I was having a great time and still am, that it just felt so right. So that's when I decided to kind of own it and put myself out there a little bit more.
So you worked with Deacon and then another person at that point, and then kind of came to that realization that you just explained there. I love how you said that you were very open about your lack of experience in working with, these first couple of clients. And a lot of people are afraid to, to be that open and be that, authentic about where you're coming from. And, that's what I teach in my ad manager course, is just like, look, like if you're just starting out and you're trying to get some experience, be upfront with these people, they're going to appreciate that. And they're also going to, if you're not upfront, they're going to know really quickly if you, if you do have a lack of experience there. Now, granted, you were coming into it getting really good results for yourself. So it wasn't like you were starting from scratch there, but with your mindset of, I'm being open about my lack of experience and working with other clients. What was the pricing structure? How did you charge, for those first few clients as you were getting your feet wet, if you will, managing ads for other people?
Yes. So I had done some freelance consulting over 2016. And one of my clients for that just put out a flat rate and said, if you do this and help my team with a Facebook ad campaign, then I'll pay you $500. And at that point I was like, okay, I'll take it. So then I just kind of applied that to these other clients. And I was like, hey, this is what I was paid before. And I wasn't very savvy about it, but that's where I started.
Okay.
And then as more people started to reach out and I started to, kind of step into that, then the rates kind of increased from there.
I want to continue talking about this pricing and then kind of come back to how you've grown the business since then. How has the pricing evolved? And because a lot of people want to know, how quickly should I increase my prices? And, what sort of pricing? Should I have a flat fee? Should I have, a flat fee plus, a percentage of ad spend? Should it be an escalating? And they get too much in their head about it. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Number one, there's no right or wrong answer on this. Like, this is whatever you're comfortable with charging. And, just pick something that you're comfortable with, that you feel reflects the value that you're providing. Go with that until you're at a point where, okay, I'm going to increase my prices. What did that look like for you as your business progressed?
Yeah. So some people, would reach out and wanted me to do their ads for them. But at that point, I just felt really comfortable working with the client, teaching them what I knew about Facebook ads, but then working with them on their, offer and finding their ideal audience. And so I really liked putting our heads together. And so with the coaching, I eventually realized that my clients, what I thought would be like a 1 month, a 4 week commitment, then they would be on their merry way. They wanted to continue working with me. And so then from there, I decided to create different packages. So I found that some people just wanted, they had one campaign that they wanted to run. And so now I have a one campaign package. We meet together 3 times, 1 time to create the campaign together and then 2 follow-up appointments. And it's just here's what we're going to do together. We're going to get it set up and I'm going to talk to you about, what you can do afterward to continue to further optimize it. And then I have a 1 month package where we meet together twice a week for 1 month so that in that time we can work on multiple campaigns together and monitor and optimize. And so we can do a few more things in that time frame. And then I found that as clients, would start working with me and wanted to continue working with me, then I decided to offer a 3 month package that would be, at a break of what if we took the 1 month and then added on the what I call maintenance coaching, which goes down weekly, they would get a break for that 3 month commitment.
Gotcha. Okay. And then is that different from your management fees and how you've structured that?
Yeah.
So how's that different?
Yeah. So with my management fees, I started with just, you know, this is the starting rate per month plus a setup fee.
Okay.
I know that there are people who do, you know, percent of ad spend and all of that. And I just wanted to keep things very simple and clear for both, you know, my accounting purposes and then also for the client.
Yeah.
And so I like simple. And so we have a setup fee plus a, you know, a monthly fee that continues. But then now that we have different scopes of projects that we work on, we kind of have three tiers that people might fall into. So I, you know, meet with a client and talk about what they're looking to do with their ads, and then we kind of see where they fall in line. So
can you talk a little bit more about what those tiers are, like what's included in each one, and why a client might fall into one or the other?
Sure. Yeah. So since I started, a lot of my first clients and some of my ongoing clients still are bloggers in the personal finance space. Mm-hmm. And so the strategy that I find that most of them want to do is driving traffic, just like Deacon has been, to their blog posts. And so with that, it's less complex than a conversion campaign where we're trying to drive, you know, subscribers or signups for a webinar, for example. So with that, we have like the base tier is through the traffic campaigns for those bloggers, but that's pretty much all they want to do.
Okay.
And then we have the next tier, which is where we want to grow the email list. We want to get people into the sales funnel with the conversion campaigns, get people registered for the webinar. And then we have the third tier, which is more like, you know, the limited time launch, where we have a whole bunch of pieces, you know, moving pieces and a set time frame. And we have retargeting and, you know, a bunch of different moving parts in a very limited time frame.
Gotcha. Okay. Now you mentioned, I want to kind of go back to what you're talking about, because the first tier that you just mentioned, working with bloggers and driving traffic and so forth, is that what, like, what do you have a specific niche? I mean, obviously the personal finance, but have you branched out into other niches? What's your focus right now in the business?
Yeah, so I definitely started in the personal finance space. That's where most of my clients were for a long time. And now it's definitely grown from like word of mouth, mostly from word of mouth and referrals, that now I have clients in other niches and industries, but all primarily online. So we're, you know, it's similar strategies, but just different audiences now.
Gotcha. So, okay. So the commonality is they have online businesses.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Is there additional criteria that you look into? Like, do they have to have a, you know, a funnel that's converting, or is there, because I talk to all different types of people, you know, especially when people are starting out, they're like, hey, I want to take everybody, you know, I'll take anybody and everybody. And, you know, the idea there is, okay, I'm going to try to find a niche that as quickly as possible to niche down there. For your business there, is there additional criteria that you're looking at outside of, or in addition to the fact that they have an online business?
Well, so if they want to drive conversions, you know, drive signups and, you know, get people into their sales funnel, then, well, or if they come to me and they say, I want to, you know, I have a product and I want to sell it. I have a course, for example, and I want to sell it with Facebook ads.
Yep.
Then I ask them if they have a sales funnel. And if they say no, then I talk to them about, well, what a sales funnel is and why it's important and how it can be, you know, costly to drive traffic, cold traffic, especially just straight to an offer. Mm-hmm. And so we talk through that and I might give them some guidance on that, but really then I would, you know, let them know that we'd be better fit to work together once they have something in place.
Yeah.
Or so I might either help them through that process or, you know, kind of give them some ideas of what pieces they can put together and then we can take it from there. But yeah, I mean, it works best when we know that they have a sales funnel that is already producing results.
Yeah.
Or a product that's selling really well otherwise. And then we just know that we can scale things up with Facebook ads. Then that's when we have the best results for sure.
Gotcha. What does that initial process look like for you when somebody comes to you and says, hey, Monica, I'm interested in working with you? Take us through like what, you know, what are sort of the next steps there once that somebody reaches out, whether they come to your website or whatever, they say, hey, Monica, I want to work with you, then what?
Sure. So we have an application process. So we have an application for coaching, an application for ads management. And so I direct them, you know, if they just reach out via email or Facebook message or whatever, then, you know, I might learn a little bit about their, you know, what they're looking to achieve with Facebook ads. But really, I direct them to the application because it has all my questions around who their audience is, you know, what budget they're looking to work with Facebook ads, what their experience has been in the past. So I have all these, you know, questions in there already that helps to keep things very organized. And so then when they submit the application, then my team and I will review it and make sure that we're thinking that we're going to be a good fit. Because so my clients have all online digital businesses. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody comes to me with, you know, an e-commerce store wanting to run ads, I don't have experience with that. And so I'm going to be upfront and try and send them to other resources that could help them with that, because that's just not where my expertise or experience lies. And I don't, you know, want to convey that I could be a good fit for them if I think that I'm probably not the best fit. So then we kind of vet through. And if we think that there's potential there and we want to learn more, or we might let them know, well, I haven't worked with this type of, you know, business before, and let them know that, then we'll decide if it makes sense for us to have a meeting. So then we have a meeting and talk about really, you know, more in depth of what the information that they provided in the application, and just really get a sense of if we feel like we're going to be a winning combination together. Because I know, like, the client wants to have success with whoever they have, you know, hire to help mm-hmm. them with their Facebook ads. And of course, I want to work with clients where I know that I'm, you know, feeling confident in being able to help them, you know, achieve success. So we want to make sure it's a win-win for everyone.
So once you have that meeting, and if everything's a go, you send over, you know, they make a payment to sign up for you at that point.
Yeah. Then we send over a contract and an invoice, and then we schedule, you know, they might have some things that they need to gather for us. And then we schedule the onboarding meeting where we kind of, you know, let's dive into what we're starting with, what campaigns, you know, what creatives, and kind of start planning out the strategy then.
Gotcha. So I want to kind of go back to something that you talked about before. It doesn't sound like you have an issue with client churn very much. Like, you work with the clients that you work with, you've been working with them for a while.
Yeah.
What do you think is the, I mean, aside from the obvious, like, I'm getting the results, what do you think is the secret to that? Because, you know, I hear this all from a lot, more so in the local business market. So ad managers who are working with local businesses, they tend to, you know, the feedback that I hear is like, you know, well, I started working with them for like 2 to 3 months, and then that was it. And, mm-hmm. you know, I look at that and I'm like, well, number one, probably wasn't a good client to start working with anyway. And you probably took them just to take a client, and which, you know, again, nothing wrong with that, but I get it. And number two, maybe you weren't getting the results, you know, because if a business is getting results, why wouldn't they want to continue to work with you? What's your experience been with that in continuing to work with a client? I mean, you've been working with Deacon, you said, for, you know, a couple of years now. Yeah. What's sort of your secret to that in continuing to work with clients over time?
So I very much enjoy the client relationship and building that relationship. So I have consistent communication with all my clients. So we meet regularly to talk about what is happening. Even if we're just doing, you know, the ads management side of things, where we kind of, my team and I kind of take what they give us and run with it, I always want to check in and make sure that, you know, what we see happening on our end, you know, when we think things are going well, then they are also having that same experience. And so then we kind of, you know, talk about next steps or what other angles can we try with these ads. So we are in constant communication, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps. So, I mean, my clients are not just my clients. They've become really good friends. And so we really enjoy, you know, meeting, and, you know, we talk business, but we really enjoy catching up with, you know, how our lives are, you know, going and what books we're reading, but then also what are we doing with the Facebook ads? And so, and that's just something that I just really love working with other entrepreneurs. And so I think that just helps to build that relationship there.
When you have those meetings, are you having those meetings or is somebody, because I want to get into your team here in a second. And I also want to come back to those, you dropped a little nugget in there that you're getting super low CPCs still for your personal finance bloggers where you're driving traffic. So I want to come back to that and how you're doing that. But since you're talking about your team here, do you have those meetings or with your clients, or do you have like an account manager or somebody who's having those meetings?
Yes. So I am the one right now still having those meetings. And as we're growing and getting more clients under our belt, we are looking to kind of change the structure of the team where my ads manager, who kind of is over my ads assistants, will start to be having those meetings. And so we're, you know, planning exactly how that's going to work out. So I feel like we're in this transition period because it is growing so quickly and we are getting new clients every single month on a consistent basis. Yep. And we have the ongoing clients that my schedule is just getting full at this point.
It's getting crazy. And you have two young kids, you said.
I have two young kids. Yes.
So how big is the team right now?
Yes. Okay. So we are growing. We are in the process of hiring probably two new people this week, actually, just finalizing that. So we have... everybody's part-time except for me, but we have, seven right now. So eight or nine.
After these two new hires.
Yeah.
And they're all virtual, you said. They're all over, spread out all over the world, all doing different things in the business. So I want to get into what roles they are. But before we do that, one of the big challenges that people have is as when they're starting out as an ads manager and they're like, holy cow, I can't do this myself anymore if I want any kind of life. So they're trying then like, all right, I want to start to scale the business and add more to the team, but they're not really sure how to, like, number one, they're not really sure how to do it. And they're not really sure what role to hire first for. How did you decide what was the first role that you wanted to bring onto the team to help you out?
So back in, in 2016, I had a virtual assistant just, you know, helping with email and, you know, just very general duties. And so I knew that I just needed somebody to kind of help with those tasks. So that was my very first hire. And then as we started creating the course and having other projects going along, I added a project manager. And then once I decided to take on the clients, my first clients with ads management, then I hired an ads assistant to help with that. So just to help kind of monitor the campaigns. And then also, you know, we would talk strategy, but she could be the one to go and create the new ads that we wanted to test or create the new audiences. And it actually worked out because she was one of my former coaching clients. So I knew that she was already getting great success with her own ads and had experience. But then she's learned a lot working with me since in this capacity as well.
And you said everybody's part-time.
Yes.
Okay. So you get the project manager, the ads assistant, and they're the ones who are actually in ads manager, if I'm understanding correctly. They're the ones in ads manager, you know, setting stuff up, making changes and stuff like that. Is that right?
The ads assistant is, and now she's grown. My first ads assistant has grown now into an ads manager role. So now we have more ads assistants that are working with her. So now we have more clients. And so each ads assistant has their own set of clients that they work with. And so she's kind of helping keep an eye on, you know, everything that's going on and also answer questions. And so we all kind of work together in that capacity. So the project manager works with basically everything else in the business.
Okay.
Keeping all our other projects and everything afloat and organized and who's doing what and all of that.
So they're the sort of the conductor, making sure that, you know, results are getting, you know, the ads assistant's in there, you know, running the campaigns, the project manager's making sure that everything's, you know, going smoothly. Is that right?
Yeah. So the way that they kind of look at it is that I'm the head of the business and my project manager and my ads manager are the shoulders of the business.
Okay.
And so the project manager has the other side of the business and the ads manager kind of runs the ads management side of the business. So,
okay, got it. That was my next question is what role is the ads manager person doing? So the ads manager is overseeing the campaigns that are running for all your different clients. And then the ads assistants are the ones who are actually running the campaigns. Do I have it right? Okay, cool.
Yes.
Cool. How did you decide on that structure? Because I love that structure. And that's very similar to kind of how I teach in sort of growing your ads business. How did you sort of I don't want to say fall into that structure, but why did you, because it sounds like you did that very intentionally. Where did that intention come from in setting it up this way? Like, it sounds like you're the business development person, you're the salesperson, but then you're also maybe, you know, some strategy with the rest of your team. But it sounds like you're not in Ads Manager on a day-to-day basis, but you are obviously very much involved in all of that. Is that right?
Yes. So with my first ads assistant, yep. She and I developed all these processes around, you know, what are we looking at on a daily basis with the clients? You know, how, when we create a campaign, what kind of, you know, audience sizes are we shooting for? She kind of took all my parameters of what, you know, how I like to structure campaigns and all of that, and yep. documented it. Mm. So then when we hired the two ads assistants back in March, then she was the one that trained them on all of that and explained all the documentation and worked with them on our existing clients that we had and kind of teaching them how we do things. And so she's been very much a trainer role. And so that's how she kind of just naturally grew into that ads manager role to oversee them. But then with the ads and the campaigns that we're working on, I'm very much involved in the strategy and reviewing what is happening. So they might, you know, come up with different image ideas, different copy ideas, headline ideas. And my ads manager will take the first round of, you know, reviewing those. And then they'll come to me for the final review mm-hmm. so that we can, you know, I can give the, okay, let's go and make it happen. So that's how it's worked out. And then with new clients, though, with brand new clients that we just start working with, I always like to get their blessing on, you know, the copy. And especially if we're promoting, you know, their webinar or their, you know, free opt-in or whatever, just to make sure that we've got the messaging right. Mm-hmm. So we'll take that first round of copy and send it over to them. So if they want to, you know, just change the wording on this thing, we kind of get that early on before we're, you know, spending a bunch of money on ads with that, you know, improper language or something.
Love it. Yeah. So, or or inaccuracies that might be there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Catch those early on. I want to just note for everybody listening, something that you said there is that this is so, so important, guys, is that what Monica said about documenting, you know, she, for her first ads assistant, she, you know, Monica had been running ads for a long time and had a way of getting results. And so they documented it, you know, like, this is how we do this. And this is the, you know, potential audience size. And obviously, since Facebook ads changed so much, like, that documentation is going to be updated as things change. Sure. But this is a step that a lot of people don't do to be able to create that system, create that process in the business to have, like, okay, so that, that's what allows you as the ads manager to step away once your business gets to a point where you're like, you know what? I don't want to be doing this every day. I want to build my team here so that I can do other things like strategy or business development or whatever and have somebody else on the team do that. But you can't do that without documenting what you've got going on and what your sort of best practices are. And this is another reason to niche down, right? Because if you're working with 16 different niches, documenting one process or maybe two processes is going to be very difficult if you're working with so many different niches. So I'm so glad that you brought that up there. I'm blanking on it. I just had a question that right before where you were talking about building out the team there. I'm going to come back to that. Well, I'll think of it. But I do want to go back to the CPC question, because I know that people are listening are like, wait. Tell me, how is she getting such low CPCs? So that first tier that you were talking about are the bloggers. And mm-hmm. their primary goal is to drive traffic, because many of them, like Deacon, are probably making, you know, back-end affiliate money on whatever products or services that they're promoting in their content or on their website. So thus they want to get traffic over to their websites there. And you mentioned that you still continue to get a very low CPC. Is that still, you know, is that still pretty accurate that you're seeing kind of across the board?
Yeah, that is accurate.
What are some of those, what's working for you? What are some of those strategies that you're getting such low CPCs?
So for the traffic campaigns, our strategy there is to keep the ad very simple. And so it looks like it fits into the newsfeed. So with conversion campaigns, when we're promoting a webinar, then we want to give them more information so that when they click through, they're pretty invested in signing up for the webinar. They're pretty excited about it. They already have all the information they need, so they click through and register. For a traffic campaign, we kind of do the opposite. We want them to not engage with the ad very much. We want them to engage, of course, but just very quickly, we want to capture their attention so they click and then engage with the blog post, so that the client then a lot of the clients have display ads also mm-hmm. on their sites, so they could, you know, capture that revenue, but then also have the affiliate opportunities within the blog post as well. So they really want to, you know, capture their engagement there. So the ad is just very simple. So we usually just have a eye-catching image, a really great image that's not super stock photo looking. Mm-hmm. So really great image, but it stands out, but it also isn't too much. So it's kind of a hard balance. That's why we look at a lot of different pictures to try and find what's going to be that nice balance of grabbing attention in the newsfeed, but then also just not looking overly staged as well. So we do that. And then an intriguing headline. So one of Deacon's seven easy ways to improve your finances today, or something along those lines. So I find that listicle blog posts work really well for that. So seven ways. So it's not overwhelming, but you know, it's something that the user on Facebook sees, okay, this is something, you know, I'm scrolling through my newsfeed right now, just thinking about where they are. You know, they're probably just wasting time scrolling through, you know, maybe they're in line at the grocery store or something, but it captures their attention. This is something I can digest quickly. So a headline that grabs their attention. And then in the text above the image, just a little, another piece of information that kind of piques their curiosity, mm-hmm. That is like, okay, I really need to know what's going on here. So one of Deacon's ads that has gone really well was a success story of somebody who had gotten out of debt on a small income, which, you know, some people might think that if I'm going to get out of debt quickly, I need to have a big income in order mm-hmm. to do that. And so this success story worked really well. And, you know, so we pulled out those pieces of information that were important to point out that she did this, you know, and she never made more than $23,000 a year or something like that. So then you're curious as to how she did this. So you click through and then read through the post.
Gotcha. And you're doing that balancing the line of the whole clickbait, you know, thing that Facebook has really cracked down on. And those examples that you just shared, definitely not, you know, definitely not clickbaity. Like you're peaking interest with, you know, very straightforward information that you know, that people are going to find value in when they click through. I remembered what I was going to ask you before, and you just kind of touched on it there. Within your team, do you have people in your team who are both writing copy and focused on the images and so forth? Or do you outsource those two roles on the team?
Yeah, so we have them sourcing images. So our ads assistants, they source images and also write headlines and copy. And then we have our general VA, she's really great at design. And so now she creates all the graphics. If we need to add text, you know, to the image, then we'll have her do it. And it just looks really nice. So it works out well that way. But yeah, I do have the ads assistants writing the copy and kind of going through the formulas that we have in place for the different types of ads.
Gotcha. Okay. And so the formulas, so that's another thing that you documented, that you, yeah. Just to clarify for everybody, this is another example of documentation. You know, Monica found, you know, a sort of formula that works with the ad copy and documented it. And it's like, okay, with every new ad the team puts together, they're following this formula. And, you know, very much like we just kind of just went through there. The people that you mentioned that your VA is really good with, you know, with graphics and stuff like that, and your ad assistant is writing the headlines and in some of the copy, did they come in with that expertise, or is that stuff that you kind of taught them?
They came in with that expertise. Okay. So yeah, it was great that they came in. We loved their attitude, but they had these skills that we saw could apply and be helpful to what we're doing. So, and then we give, you know, feedback, especially with the copy. We're constantly giving feedback as to, you know, why we're changing this or just restructuring that. So we're constantly giving feedback on that so that they can continue to improve and refine over time. But yeah, it was nice that they came in with some background with that.
Gotcha. So when you're hiring people like that, you mentioned, you know, that they have the personality and stuff like that. How do you weigh that? You know, because this is a question that I talk to, you know, peers, friends of mine, you know, business owners and stuff like that all the time. This is a conversation we have all the time is when it comes to hiring is like, you know, and there's so many different, you know, thoughts out there, you know, do you hire for skill? Do you, and then obviously there's the personality part, or do you hire for personality and sort of those intangibles, work ethic, et cetera, and how they fit into your team. And then you can teach them the skills. Where do you fall into that?
Yeah. So I definitely have placed high importance on attitude and enthusiasm. So if they are excited about the role, if they are excited about being a part of the team, about this growing team, this growing business, then I think that they kind of move on down to the next step of the hiring process, because that's the most important thing. For me, I know that I've coached Facebook ads for so long that I can teach Facebook ads. I've worked with a lot of different clients. I've worked with a lot of different people in a lot of different niches now. And so I know that that's something that I can teach, and we've got the resources and documentation, you know, to help bring somebody in and kind of learn that process. But the attitude and enthusiasm has to be there. If I feel like they're not going to be a good fit for our team culture, then they're just an automatic no, no matter how much experience they might have, you know, that could benefit the team. I really want to have this experience of excitement and joy in what we're doing and enthusiasm for helping our clients. And so with that, we have team meetings where we have everybody. So all sides of the business come together and we talk about what's going on with the business. And we really try and create that culture, even though we're all virtual and all over the United States. We even have one person in the UK. And so we all come together so that we're, you know, really focused on growing this thing together. And we really are a team.
How do you communicate with the team? So because you guys are all spread out, how do you communicate? And then I'm assuming there's a project management tool that you guys use and kind of keep everything organized. What are those tools?
For sure. So our main communication channel is Boxer. It's a mobile app. They also have a web app, but I really like it because I am in meetings all day, pretty much back to back. And so I'll get done with a client. I'll have an update for the team, something I want to pass on, and I can send a quick voice message. So it's text message with voice component. So I'll send a quick voice message, you know, 30 second voice message. They get it. And rather than me having to write out an email or type out a, you know, a long message on the computer or something, I can just spit it out really quickly and they can get moving on, you know, whatever they need to do. So I really like Boxer for communication. That's what we mostly use. We also use Asana for the project management side. And so we'll have comments and kind of, you know, information in there that is really important that we need to document. But for most things, if you want to, you know, if they have a question for me, the quickest way to get a hold of me is through Boxer.
Gotcha. I want to start to wrap up here, but I have just a couple of final questions here. What would you say to an ads manager who's, you know, maybe they have a couple of clients and, but they're having a hard time getting traction and starting to grow their business. This is something that they really want to do. Maybe they're doing it on the side of their full-time job and they want this to replace, you know, their full-time job. Or maybe they've gone out and like, you know, game on, this is what they're doing, but they're having a little bit of a hard time, you know, growing the business. What would you say to that person?
So to your point earlier, niching down, I think that that just kind of naturally happened for me since I was involved in the personal finance community and still am. But that just, you know, is naturally where I started. And I feel so blessed that, you know, my path took me down that route, because then I was able to be known as the, you know, Facebook ads person in that community and really learned that industry well so that I could help different, you know, clients in that niche achieve their goals with Facebook ads. And so even if you just learned one process, whether it's getting really good at traffic campaigns for bloggers, you know, who talk about, one of my friends has a blog about growing plants, specific type of plants, you know, maybe it's something like that. So getting very specific and specialized into an audience that you feel passionate about and that you want to help, and then finding those people who could be your clients in that way that also want to help those people, or, you know, also getting very specialized in type of campaign that you run, getting really good at that, and then finding the people who can, you know, benefit from your expertise with that type of campaign.
Love it. You mentioned earlier that you talk about books that you're reading with your clients. What are you reading, or what have you read recently that you really enjoyed?
Sure. So I just read Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller.
Yep.
And I think that's a really great book for entrepreneurs and learning, you know, the pain points and how to talk about the pain points and with your audience and clarifying your messaging. And so that's something that I know can help me in my business. I'm going through a website redesign. And so I want to get very clear on that as the business has grown and changed. But then also we can look at it, you know, for each of our clients and do the ads and talking, you know, what angles do we want to come out with these conversion campaigns, these ads. So I feel like that can help any entrepreneur. So building a story brand, and then own your day. What is it called? Own your day, own your life.
Yeah, I'm reading that right now too. Yeah.
I'm in the middle of that one. So that's a really interesting book. I always love personal development and, you know, optimizing and habits and all of that. And so that's a really interesting book that I'm reading right now as well.
I keep hearing that because I picked it up. I actually didn't even know that he had a book, and I was in the Amazon store here in San Diego. I don't know, geez, 6-7 weeks ago, and it happened to be there. I was like, oh, I gotta grab this book. And then it's talking to Pat Flynn, and Pat's like, oh yeah, I'm reading that book right now. And I'm like, oh, I'm like 3/4 of the way through. So very cool. So I think it's called Own the Day by Aubrey Marcus, who started On It, the brand, and then Building Your Story brand. I've seen Donald Miller speak. I'm super, super impressed with him. I think his stuff is awesome. I've not read that book, but you're like the 18th person to recommend it. And I'm definitely going to do that. So great recommendations there. I want to make sure that people can connect with you. And I want to thank you so much for being so open and transparent about how you built this amazing business. I don't think we've talked a lot about, you know, building an ads management business here on the show and talked to different ads managers and so forth. I don't think we've, on a previous episode, as we're talking here, as we were wrapping up, I was thinking to myself, I don't think we've gone this in depth onto, you know, the full scope of building your ads management business that we have today. So thank you so much for, you know, being so open and transparent about how you've done it. And I very much, and you know, I told you this, mate, you've done it the right way. I think you're amazing. And I think that this is only the start for you for what you're building here. So I'm super, super happy about watching your progress here with this. And hopefully to add to that, I want to make sure that people can connect with you. So what is the best place for people to reach out to you, to connect with you and learn more about possibly working with you?
Sure. Well, thank you so much. This has been a great honor to be part of your podcast. I've been a longtime listener and fan, so thank you for having me. So people can learn more. They can reach out at monicalouie.com/Rick. I'll have some resources there and different ways that you can work with me there as well if you're interested.
Awesome. So Monica Louie, so it's monicalouie.com/Rick. And I'll be sure to link that up in the show notes for the episode here today as well. Monica, thank you so much again for being on. I really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you so much for having me, Rick.
All right. Quick question for you. Do you know what your Facebook ads superhero superpower is? Well, I put together a fun, short little quiz that's designed to give you that answer. And based on your answer, you're also going to get a solid Facebook ad strategy and a custom cheat sheet that's full of tips and tricks that is personalized for you that most marketers miss. The quiz will literally take you like 30 seconds, and it's going to help you find your particular superhero superpower when it comes to Facebook ads. Now, this isn't your average BuzzFeed style quiz. You know, as fun as it is finding out which Charlie and the Chocolate Factory child you would be, I wanted to create something that's fun and valuable and that, you know, I'll be honest, I really enjoy. That's fun for me, and hopefully it's fun for you, because a quiz should be all those things, right? And since Facebook ad strategies can vary from industry to industry, I created the quiz as a tool to give you an easy solution to get better results based on what type of business that you run. So just go to rickmulready.com/quiz to take that quiz. Again, it's rickmulready.com/quiz. And I'd love to hear your results. Shoot me a DM over on Instagram. I'm at Rick Mulready, or shoot me a Facebook message. Love to hear what your superhero superpower is. All right, that's all for today's episode. Hope you got a ton out of today's talk here with Monica. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. As always, I really appreciate it, and I don't take your attention lightly. I've got more episodes coming your way very soon here in the podcast. So until then, and as always, my friend, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Don't worry, there's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to avoid the seven biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the seven mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.